The Bible reading is from Luke chapter 15, starting at verse 11, which is on page 1049 if you've got a church Bible. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him out to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the elder son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The elder brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never even gave me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'"
Well, good evening, everyone. Good evening, everyone. Sorry, I'll just move this up a little bit more. Good to have you back with us, Rick. I must say, I found it heartwarming to hear that French homework can be part of a conversion story. I'll have to remember that. Why don't I pray as we look at God's word, before we look at God's word together? Father, thank you so much for the gift of new life. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that you care for us. Thank you that you know us more than we know ourselves even. And we pray now that as we consider what it means to be one of your children, we pray that you will help us to have soft hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. She loves me. She loves me not. 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 I don't know whether you can relate to that. But It is true to say, isn't it, that the human heart longs to be loved. The human heart longs more than anything else to be loved. Did you know that over 100,000 people applied to be on the 2022 series of Love Island? The human heart longs for love. The online dating app industry generates £11.7 billion per year in the UK alone. The human heart longs to be loved. No Hollywood film is complete without a romance story. They always manage to get it in there somewhere because the human heart longs to be loved. More, I think, than anything else in the whole world, the human heart longs to be loved and feels totally at home when it is loved. And in the passage that we're looking at this evening, Jesus tells us about the greatest love in the world. The greatest love in the world. He tells us about a love that's better than any love that any human being could ever offer us. A love that's better than any dating app or TV program or Hollywood film could offer us. He tells us about the love of God. Look down with me at verse 20 of the passage that Anna read to us. The second half of verse 20. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms round him, and kissed him. Do you see how total that love is? He's a long way off, the son, and the father saw him with his eyes. And he's filled with compassion for him in his heart. What does he do? He runs with his legs. He threw his arms around him and kissed him. It's total love. It's incredible love. It's the greatest love in the world. And so often human love is partial, isn't it? I like your personality, but I don't like your face. I think you're cool. I think you're cool, but you're not really my type. So often human love is partial, isn't it? God says, I love every single bit of you. I love you all. This is the best love, the greatest love in the world. And the question is, how do we get it? How do we get this love? And in this famous story that Jesus tells, there are two sons, and they're the same as us. They both want the love and blessing of their father. How do they get it? The elder son decides that the route to his father's love is to try really hard. The son who tries. Look down with me at verse 29. But he answered his father, the elder son, look! Look, you can imagine him saying it, can't you? Look, father, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. You see, the elder son thinks that the route to his father's love is by trying really, really hard. And he says, look, father, look what I've done. I've done it for my whole life. What happens? He doesn't get anything. his experience. He doesn't know the love of his father. Second half of verse 29, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. The son who tries is not experiencing the love of the father. It's a little bit like when you come to the end of your toothpaste tube. So I don't know if you've had this experience. I had it recently. I knew the toothpaste was running out, but I kept on forgetting to buy more toothpaste. And you go upstairs, brush your teeth, think, okay, I need to remember to buy more toothpaste. But then I kept forgetting. And up to a certain point, you can still get a little bit of toothpaste out, just enough to brush your teeth. But there comes a point where you can't get any more toothpaste out. No matter how hard you try, no toothpaste is coming out. And that's the experience of this elder son. Try, 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 try. He doesn't know the love of his father. And so many religions in this world are built on that principle, aren't they? Pray this number of times a day. Fast this number of days a year. Eat this particular food. Wear this particular piece of clothing. Look this particular way. Go to this meeting. Try, 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 try. Try your best to persuade God to like you. It doesn't work, though, does it? We kind of know that doesn't work. If you just think about it for a second, you realize it's never going to work. And what happens? It just leaves the older son feeling angry. Verse 28, the elder brother became angry and refused to go in. The son who tries doesn't know the love of his father. Which I guess begs the question, doesn't it? How can anyone know the love of God? How can anyone know the love of the Father? How can anyone know this greatest love in the world? Is it kind of a nice idea that we talk about, but no one can actually reach it because none of us are perfect? Secondly, let's look at the son who trusts. The son who trusts. And maybe here we're expecting an absolute golden boy. Contestant number one was pretty good, wasn't he? You know, he slaved his whole life, never disobeyed your orders. Pretty high standard. If he didn't make it, this second contestant has got to be pretty good. Let's take a look. Verse 11. Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Interesting start. He's asking his father for his property, for his inheritance rights, the stuff he's going to get when he dies. But he's asking for it now. It's not looking great, is it? But maybe he's going to invest the money wisely and make a load of profit, give it back to his father, and then his father will love him even more. Is that what happens? Let's have a look. Verse 13. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, okay, so far, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. This guy's got no chance, has he? He's run away from home. He's taken his father's money. He's wasted it all. He's made really bad decisions. He's feeding pigs. This is not looking good. This guy is not experiencing the love of the father. But the key thing about this son, is not his moral record, not what he's got on his CV. The key thing about this son is that he trusts. He trusts. Yes, it's baby trust, but it's trust. Verse 18, I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And here's the key bit. So he got up and went to his father. He realizes his mistake and he gets up and goes to his father. This is the son who trusts. Baby trusts, but he trusts. And how does the father respond, I wonder? How is the father going to respond to this wayward son who's coming back? You know, we might expect him to be standing at the front door, tapping his foot, saying, this had better be good. You have got a lot of explaining to do. Is that what happens? Verse 20. So he got up and went to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. How can we ever know the love and favor and blessing of God? How can we know the greatest love in the world? Not by trying, but by trusting. Not by doing loads of stuff, but by trusting, by going back to the Father. Getting baptized isn't about adding another extra thing, as Rick so helpfully explained, to our spiritual CV. It's about saying, I trust you. I'm coming home. And God doesn't love us because of our moral record. The truth is, we're all, whether we realize it or not, like the younger son in this story, aren't we? We've all wandered away from God. But when we come home, no matter what we've done, he throws his arms around us. This is the greatest love in the world because it doesn't depend on me. It depends on him. I'd like to close with a story about a teenage girl who lived in the north of England. And this was back in the days, a long time ago, before phones. And, well, before mobile phones, at least. And this teenage girl, she was really disobedient at times. And so disobedient that one day she decided that she was going to leave home and go to London, the big, big city of London, big lights. So she goes to London. And she lives a wild life, like the son in the story, and a life that dishonors her parents. And she hasn't seen her parents for a couple of years. And one day she decides, I want to go home. I want to go home. And so she writes a letter to her dad saying, Dad, I want to come home. And in the letter, she says, if you'll have me back, can you put a tissue in the window of the back garden? And the train line that she would get on went past the garden of the of the back door of the family that where she was. And she thought, that way I'll know as the train goes past, if I see a tissue in the window, I know that my dad is going to have me back. And as she gets on the train, she's thinking, you know, will he have me back? Won't he have me back? Will I see the tissue? Won't I see the tissue? And as the train goes past the back garden of the house, did she see the handkerchief? Did she see the handkerchief? No, she didn't see it. Here's what she saw instead. The father had got all the bed sheets he could find and the whole family to wave them out of the windows of the house. Thanks, guys, that's great. The father had got all the bed sheets they could find and got everyone to wave them outside the windows of the house to say, yes, come home. You are so welcome home. And tonight, through this story, God is saying to each one of us, come home. No matter what you've done, because it's not about trying, it's about trusting. And when we do come home, we realize that God is the perfect Father. He never abandons us. He never forsakes us. He will always love us. And it may be that this very evening you want to come home. You want to come back to God. And when we decide we want to do that, all we have to do is ask him, and he takes us back. And I'm going to say a short prayer, and if you want to, then you can echo it in your heart after me. Why don't we bow our heads? Heavenly Father, I am sorry that I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Like the son in the story, I know that I have run from you and deserve nothing from you. Thank you that because of Jesus, I can come home and be friends with you again. Amen.